Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life. This is part two of our interview with Candace Gregory and Ashley Belmudez Frakes.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark with the Assure Women's Center. Today we're talking about trauma, hope, and restoration, especially how past experiences like abuse, homelessness, incarceration, or abortion can shape a woman's life, and how God can redeem even those painful chapters. I'm joined by two remarkable women who minister right here in the middle of those realities. Candace Gregory, President and CEO of Open Door Mission, and Ashley Belmudez Frakes, a chaplain with Good News Global. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today.
Thank you.
You know, with the abortion pill, we're seeing that women are experiencing abortion trauma much earlier than in the past. It used to take 10 to 15 years before someone acknowledged that they were suffering from an abortion. But since now, they're administering the abortion pill themselves in their bedroom, in their bathroom, and then they're seeing the fetal remains in their toilet, they're suffering emotional and mental distress much sooner. We just see it just more and more here at the center. With the abortion pill now accounting for 80% of abortions in Nebraska, the full impact is still not yet seen. We offer a PATH class, which is PATH is our post-abortion trauma healing, and it helps women process their abortions. Can you each tell me about what ministries or programs you offer to help women overcome trauma?
We actually have trauma-informed care at our facility, so our staff are trained in trauma-informed care. We actually have been really proactive. A few years ago, we started having an architect come in and look at our facilities to make sure that we were using color and texture and designs that were trauma-informed care, because we were overlooking color. Believe it or not, that plays a big part.
Yeah.
And so that's been big for us. And of course, we, after COVID, expanded our behavioral mental health department. Mm-hmm. And we went from having one LMHP to having now six LMHPs and a certified alcohol drug addiction counselors, and having, you can't say crisis counselor. Did you know that? That doesn't work very well. Would you like to see our crisis counselor today, Tony? So it's all in the presentation. We're learning.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is key to when we talk about trauma. It's mm-hmm. all in the presentation. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of those trainings and have mm-hmm. equipped us yeah. to be able to meet people where they're at mm-hmm. better. Yeah. And because you cannot push people through grief.
Yeah.
It's a wheel yeah. that is different for everybody.
Yeah.
And as they become safer and develop relationships within the case management, the behavior health, the mental health, that's where it comes out to be. And it's, I have to say, you know, we are unique, the three of us, because we are offering Christ-centered programming.
Yeah.
That's not the case
yeah.
for every woman that yeah. does not have exposure to that. Mm-hmm. And there's such a big difference, because you cannot possibly have the strength within to heal by yourself. Yeah. And that's why we see suicide. When you're telling us 80%,
yeah,
are now using that. I had no idea. I am blown yeah, away. I am typing as fast mm-hmm. as I can mm-hmm. with it, because I'm learning today. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I am thinking, this is explaining a lot.
Yeah.
You know, especially, Tony, when we're seeing a huge spike mm-hmm. in 18 to 25-year-olds of youth that are aging out of foster care at our door mm-hmm. who are giving sex acts to mm-hmm. actually couch surf mm-hmm. and yet yeah. having exposure to have yeah. this pill at mm-hmm. just a drop of a hat. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we're wondering yeah. why they're showing up the way they are at yeah. our doorstep. Yeah. And that's, mm-hmm. wow. That is, I'm just taking a step back here and saying, Holy Spirit, I need to be proactive, and we need to address this yeah. At our Lydia house so that
yeah.
we can be ready for what is going to come through our door.
Yeah. Yeah. Candace, you hit right on the button. Tony, when you said that 80%, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, it's different when you're living and you're helping and you're serving and the capacities in which we're doing. Mm-hmm. But when you actually have a number to it,
80% is high.
It is.
That is, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a great.
That's a whole nother.
I know. It's yeah. But what are we doing? You know, so Good News Global, mm-hmm. formerly Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, we've partnered with American Bible Society and the Trauma Healing Institute. And we have.
Love it.
Yeah. I say, you should know this.
Yep. I hear you.
We've dealt with like Wounded Hearts trauma care, trauma-informed care, and community support. So they understand where they're at mm-hmm. on this grief journey, if we want to call it, or trauma, whatever they want to label, okay? Showing where they're at and actually learning and seeing mm-hmm. what's going on with their life, whether they chose the having an abortion pill and what that has surfaced with trauma. So we now partner with them in a lot of our facilities and prisons, and even like you're at Candace said, I love it. Community partners.
Absolutely.
That's where we start. So that's what we're doing.
Absolutely. Candace, the Open Door Mission offers programs focused on recovery and long-term transformation. How do trauma-informed principles shape your team's approach to care?
I think for us that we always want to see someone in the image of Christ.
Yeah.
And that helps us. I know that we do trauma-informed care training in many different formats, and we love the material. Mm-hmm. We absolutely love healing wounds. It's Bible-based, and our staff go through it. But nothing prepares you, Tony, for opening God's Word mm-hmm. and allowing Scripture mm-hmm. to transform people's lives.
Yeah.
And when we are a nonprofit that's faith-based, Christ-centered, we don't have any restrictions.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
We have no restrictions.
Yeah.
We can pray with people.
Yeah.
We can introduce them to Jesus. We can share Scripture. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We can introduce them to a church that's within a 2 to 3 mile radius of their home, their household, where they can continue that process. Mm-hmm. And I think for our staff, the freedom to be able to do that is yeah. the best training and tool for trauma-informed care that we use.
That's good. Actually, when you walk with women who are confronting past abuse or loss, what spiritual truths or practices bring the most peace and breakthrough?
Well, as you kind of hear, we have a lot of the prayer and Scripture and Jesus Christ. But I'd say with healing, you know, often begins with knowing God is still present.
Yeah.
I'm big about that. Prayer, Scripture, gentle spiritual practices. You know, we want to work with women to reconnect with faith at a pace that causes no harm.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture is very powerful when it's invited gently. Mm-hmm. And not used as a quick fix mm-hmm. because you're building that relationship. So that's kind of where it is bringing it back to the basics,
yeah.
that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, that safe place that they can run to and know that Jesus is there with them in the presence. Just like his word says, you know, he'll be with you through your endeavors.
Yeah.
And so they can feel that.
That's good. That's good. A bit ago, we talked a little bit about, you know, the deep shame that women, and not just women, but, you know, people in general are facing.
Yeah.
We certainly see that at Assure when a woman begins to open up about an abortion in her past. But how do you approach those conversations when women begin to share that part of their story?
You know, for us at the Open Door Mission, when you do meet people's physical needs and they do have, we see growth when they start to have sleep. When they start to have peace.
Okay.
And that's when they start to open up
mm-hmm.
and they start to talk about some real pain in their life, whether it be abuse,
mm-hmm.
because such a high portion of our women and children and men have been abused in childhood or as a young adult more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And so repeat. And then they also have, again, their physical needs that have not been met. And then, of course, mm-hmm. there's always, I believe, I didn't look at that number of last year, but prior to that, women self-report mm-hmm. that they have had an abortion, 42% experiencing mm-hmm. homelessness. So that's a high number.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than once. Like you had, I think, mentioned, Ashley, that it's choice mm-hmm. sometimes more than once.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us, we want to make sure that they know we love them mm-hmm. and God loves them.
Yeah.
And we want to share with them that just does not define them
right.
of who they are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And through discipleship, we see a lot of healing.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we do have to make the referral
mm-hmm.
to the mental behavior health team
yeah.
because there's some really deep things
mm-hmm.
that they need another area of profession
yeah.
to work with them on. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I can't explain why God chooses to heal me differently than Tony or Ashley.
Yeah.
And he does. But he does. And we have to recognize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like you said it all already, Candace. But, you know, it's, again, back to that slow and gentle. Mm-hmm. I listen more than I speak. And for those who know me, they're like, really? Yeah, right. You know, but I want to be transparent.
Yeah.
I want to walk alongside with them and knowing that God already knows their story. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He still stayed. Mm-hmm. God's not a man that he would lie.
Yeah.
You know, and when I'm sitting with them and I'm listening to who they are and what they're about, you know, we separate our identity from their decisions. Mm-hmm. And I try to focus on grace rather than condemnation.
Yeah.
And there's no judgment. So coming alongside them and just saying, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I am rooted with you and I'm on this journey with you. Mm-hmm. And you're not alone.
That's good. For a pregnant woman who is homeless or facing incarceration, the message they may hear is that abortion is the only responsible choice. How can we challenge that narrative and help women see that there are real alternatives?
I'd say responsibility doesn't mean isolation.
Yeah.
Real responsibility includes, like we were talking about earlier, with community, mm-hmm. Compassion, and just practical support. So when I've seen when women are actually supported, even during the times that I've went through some of the experiences that we're kind of talking about, you're actually going to begin to see alternatives. Mm-hmm. And hope that they maybe once felt trapped in.
Yeah.
So that's where I would say it's based on that.
Yeah.
Hmm. What do you think? You know, unfortunately, the world's messaging is different than mm-hmm. God's messaging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think that the message is, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is better for you.
Yep.
This isn't going to interrupt mm-hmm. your life.
Right.
This isn't going to bring any disruption to your job, to your finances.
Yeah.
The messaging mm-hmm. is just so negative.
It is.
For them, but they perceive it as positive. This is the answer.
Yeah.
And until we can reach that woman with a different narrative, we won't see a different change.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think that we have to be louder, bolder, and unapologetic about that message that God has a better plan for you.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I add?
Yeah.
So breaking it down even further is when I say community and compassion and practical support is because if you're isolated, mm-hmm. which most women feel that way during this type of responsible choice, mm-hmm. as you so call, right, we calling it,
yeah.
If you don't have the support around you and you don't hear otherwise, like we were talking about, the world says this and your community, you might have negative from there. But if you have that community and support of individuals who are like, you're not alone, you're not, you know what I'm talking about, the positivity.
Yeah.
And but all they're hearing is negative, 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 negative. Well, what do you think the responsible choice is going to be?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so I'm a big advocate for that, making sure that you have someone with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're with someone. You're not alone in this.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. And it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. A group of generous partners has challenged Assure supporters to give $500,000 by May 29th. If that goal is reached, they will release an additional $100,000. Your gift today can help unlock this challenge and reach more women before the abortion industry does. Visit firststeptolife.com to give today.
Welcome back to Life Matters. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Candace Gregory, President and CEO of Open Door Mission, and Ashley Bermudez Frakes, a chaplain with Good News Global. So churches have a powerful role in this area. How can local congregations come alongside ministries like ours to meet these women's physical and spiritual needs?
I'm just going to jump right quick because I always have something to say.
Go ahead.
Because I'm a reverend too as well. So it's like, let me go ahead and speak up on that. I think that churches can become places where there's healing, where they can actually lead with grace instead of being judgmental.
Yeah.
They can actually do that. Trauma-aware churches, trauma-informed churches, and they can walk with them long-term, not just in crisis. Not just when that moment happens, I'm coming in and I need a quick fix, mm-hmm. but they could actually make a real difference. Mm-hmm. I've heard this phrase when you hear about the word team. well, together each accomplishes more.
Yeah.
And I think that's what churches can be. Mm-hmm. If we are a team with churches, mm-hmm. we can do that. But trauma-informed, trauma-aware churches, I think, needs to kind of step up a bit.
So when you say trauma-informed or trauma-aware churches, does that mean they have programs or they just have access to programs that they can refer someone to?
Why not both? Like?
Okay.
How about both?
Okay.
Because if that's our community, then our church has a duty to stand up mm-hmm. and help their congregation, their yeah. family. Their, yeah. There's families that were out here. You have people who are incarcerated coming back to church. You have people who've been homeless coming back. I mean, you have what a great pool right. of people to pull from, right. especially if you're in this type of situation. Mm-hmm. So I just think they need to kind of stand up a bit. And again, I'm passionate.
Right.
It's like your kids, but I'm just like, come on, if we have help, let's use it.
Yeah.
So I really think trauma-informed care training
yeah.
is really big, but also resources, if they have it and they know something, mm-hmm. why not speak up? If you have knowledge, give it.
Right.
Keep it.
That's good. And I think the churches don't necessarily have to start from scratch.
Right.
They can reach out and say, hey, this is yes. what we want to do. Help us do it.
Is that kind of like the phrase of why reinvent the wheel?
Right.
When the yes. wheels are reinvented? I'm just saying, can I, you know, so that's, yeah.
yeah.
So that's what I think. Yeah.
I think our churches are overwhelmed today.
Yeah, I agree.
Post-COVID. Mm-hmm. I think Satan had a heyday
mm-hmm.
creating churches in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we did church way too long via Zoom mm-hmm. and other live streaming. Mm-hmm. And Satan was able to create mm-hmm. a lot of social mental health issues in our churches. And I think we're still recovering
yeah.
from that.
Yep.
And I think that our churches are full of men and women that are hurting.
Yeah.
And I don't think our churches, it starts at the top. Mm-hmm. And I feel seminary needs to do better job mm-hmm. of equipping our pastors
mm-hmm.
with how to deal
yeah.
with the social issues in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I belong to the City Gate Association mm-hmm. and used to be formerly known as the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, but CityGate has taken a huge initiative in this in talking to churches and denominations about how to equip pastors
mm-hmm. yes.
with the knowledge so that they can lead
yeah.
their churches
mm-hmm.
in providing things like Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah.
There's a big difference
right.
between AANACA and Celebrate Recovery. Mm-hmm. And there's a time and a place for both.
Yes.
We can't get into that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then there's also really good. Timothy Group has a great mm-hmm. grief process. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of Christian mm-hmm. wonderful support groups. Mm-hmm. But you rarely see them in the church, ladies.
Yeah.
Rarely.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah. why?
Mm-hmm.
It starts at the top.
That's a good yeah. point.
I think that's why I'm saying that they need to kind of start using that what they have. And that's why they become even locationally aware, because we have different locations of multiple churches in this area,
yeah.
you know, and making those connections, because you're absolutely right. They were hurt after yeah. COVID. They're, you know, things have changed.
Yeah.
And so using those resources that pastors are given or their congregations have from the head down, I agree. It does fall from the head down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops talks about the vicious cycle of poverty and abortion, how one often leads to the other. How have you seen that cycle play out, and what can begin to break it?
Mm.
Poverty, trauma, and abortion, I think they reinforce one another. Mm. And breaking that cycle does kind of like what we've been discussing here already. I think it's pretty prevalent what we're saying is, it does require community. There's mm-hmm. dignity and support, helping women seeing that they're not alone mm-hmm. and that future can look completely different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm one of those that I like to go deeper. What are they looking at in a vicious cycle? Like what are they considering that as a vicious cycle? Like what is that? Mm-hmm. And why are we looking at, you know, what, is there something that we need to fix on that for sure? Mm-hmm. Because if we're talking about vicious cycles, poverty, and abortion, what are they doing about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I have seen it play out. And I just think, again, these resources that we keep on saying the same thing over and over, a safe place,
yeah.
trauma-informed care, different programming that would work, mm-hmm. all these things, these resources that are available. I think that sometimes they utilize that and they try to push it away to where people can't see certain resources because, again, they're isolated. They're not informed.
Yeah.
I want to see our society stopping setting up the people I love for failure.
Yes. Yes.
And when you allow a casino to be built in the poverty zip code within walking distance of 1,000 people, and you prey on another group of people within, oh, well, goodness, you could walk there in 10 minutes or maybe even take a bus. And we know all the effects of expanded gambling, but yet we allowed it. We spend millions of dollars busing kids out of a district because we don't want to pay teachers more to have the best schools in that district. And parents perceive the better schools are somewhere else. And so we're spending millions instead of paying teachers better so kids can walk to school.
Yeah.
Instead, we build bridges instead of attainable housing. We talk about raising minimum wage instead of giving vocational training for free so they can earn and a livable wage.
Sure.
There's just, there's too much in that question,
there's
Tony.
A lot of systemic
issues.
I don't know how we get to the bottom. And
I mean,
we're just a pea in the pot.
Yeah. If you scream out, you're kind of like, I better be careful on that one, you know?
Yeah. I think it's deeper. It's deeper. Understanding the framework of homeless and poverty is deep.
It is.
And
I don't think it's true.
Abortion does go hand in hand with poverty.
Yeah.
Because the government took away the importance of the father figure in the home back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And they continued to do that and continue today. Mm-hmm. And that was a terrible message.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah,
it is. And that's kind of where I truly believe they reinforce one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, where do you begin?
Yeah. And once again, I feel like this is where the church has to get involved. The church doesn't have all the answers, but it's a good place to start.
Yeah.
When we start talking about building families and those things and just giving people the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for so long, the truth has been covered, you know, by programs.
Yes.
The government coming in and they're going to solve it. They're going to solve the issue. And they're the knight in shining armor. And let's be honest, ladies, Open Door Mission would not exist if the church was doing what God had called them to do.
Yeah.
And that's harsh to say.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
And we're just a resource. I'm not a church.
Right.
I'm just a resource to the church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Let's not get ourselves in any more.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for that one.
Well, did you see how I was like,
you're dancing. Whatever.
I was definitely dancing. Thank you for helping me. I'm glad you're a lead partner in dancing. I sure am. Thank you.
So you've both seen God transform lives that seem completely broken. Would you share one story that stands out, maybe a story of redemption that reminds you why you do this work every day?
Oh, there's so many.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, when I go to graduation at CHI and you're sitting there bawling and there's no, which kid is yours?
None.
It's like, you know, when you first have your first person that goes to college, and that was huge for us. And now 26% of our graduates go on to further education. But for me, you know, I have some of my friends that I have are just amazing people. Now, the world may not think so, but you know, Carol, who escaped domestic violence, her husband slit her throat from one end to the other. And now her 5 kids are doing amazing. They're just, you know, one's a business owner, one's a sheriff, they're just doing amazing. And it's all because of the redemption in Christ.
All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
I'm super grateful. I'm grateful for other women that God has in leadership, grateful for you two ladies, grateful for what you do, because it means that we can build a support system around the people that come through our doors. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful.
Yeah. Okay. I will kind of put a little quick thing in here. I am really grateful for you, Tony, and also for you, Candace, as well. When I first found out I was pregnant, we won't even get into that, I actually came to Assure with my husband and I to find out because we were just newlywed and it was kind of scary. First timer. Yeah. And then when I was homeless, I went through your doors, Candace, if you didn't know that. You might find a record of me. But I'm really grateful to be a part of this and be on this conversation. And for those who are listening, what an awesome opportunity for women to get together to make a difference. Because we've been there, we know stories, we could go on for hours and change subjects, but to be a part of this, whatever this is and God's doing and whatever we're doing in this community, I'm just glad to be a part of it. Maybe a jubilee, who knows? I'm just glad.
That's good, that's good. All right, finally, Candace, where can people learn more or get more involved with Open Door Mission?
Visit opendoormission.org.
Okay.
Click on About Us, our volunteer button. Follow us on our social media handles, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter.
Yeah, so where can people learn more, get involved with your work at Good News Global?
GNGglobal.org, goodnewsjail.org. They can find that, or they can find us on Facebook. Just type in Good News Global.
Candace and Ashley, thank you so much for sharing your hearts and for the incredible work you're doing to bring hope and healing to women who are experiencing homelessness as well as incarceration. I really appreciate you all.
Thank you.
At Assure Women's Center, we see every day that when a woman is met with compassion and truth, her story can change, and so can her future. If you or someone you know are struggling after an abortion, please know that healing is possible. We love to connect you with help and hope through Assure Women's Center. To learn more, visit firststeptolife.com. Thank you for listening and for your prayers and support.
Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby. A group of generous partners has challenged Assure supporters to give $500,000 by May 29th. If that goal is reached, they will release an additional $100,000. Your gift today can help unlock this challenge and reach more women before the abortion industry does. Visit firststeptolife.com to give today. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.